What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021, getting into the week here, and we have a lot to talk about. It's been a very, very busy news day. So we're going to do news until we get up to the second hour, and then we're going to open up the phone lines as usual. And I'd like to hear from some new callers. You know, we've got the same voices over and over again with the same messages over and over again. I'd really like to hear some first-time callers today, so I'm putting out that challenge there. Meanwhile, Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. And getting right on into the news, boy, it has been a bad day for Andrew Cuomo. The New York Attorney General Letitia James has concluded that the New York governor sexually harassed multiple subordinates, according to a report from the AG's office released earlier today, which also concluded that Cuomo retaliated against women who complained about his behavior, fostering a toxic work environment. And the reactions are coming thick and fast. Janice Dean went after him, saying he's a monster and deserves to go in shame. And you know, this report has been in the, you know, months in the making. It's not an overnight thing here. Now, interestingly enough, last March, Joe Biden said that if Governor Cuomo was found to have sexually harassed women, that he should resign. And, of course, he's sort of trying to backtrack from that right now, or maybe he just legitimately doesn't remember. But the White House has said that Biden will have a statement on Cuomo soon. Now, over at CNN, Andrew's brother, Chris Cuomo, is not facing any discipline by the network for advising Andrew Cuomo on how to escape the allegations of sexual misconduct. And, you know, Chris Cuomo joined a series of conference calls that included the Democratic governor's top aide, his communications team, lawyers, and a number of outside advisors to help his brother take a defined position and not to resign from the governor's office. So CNN is perfectly cool with Chris Cuomo trying to help Andrew Cuomo basically escape the allegations of sexual harassment. Meanwhile, over at Fox News, they are dumping Andrew Napolitano because this producer, 27 years old, accused him of stroking his arm while making sexually suggestive comments in an elevator. And so Napolitano is out at Fox for what appears to have been a gay proposition of the producer. Now, a little while ago, this new social media network, Getter, G-E-T-T-R, was started up. It's a free speech platform. They don't censor. It's pro-Trump. And it is being flooded with all kinds of supposedly terrorist posting, you know, ISIS propaganda, videos of beheadings, all kinds of really disgusting stuff. And I have to be very honest, it feels to me like this is probably a plan by those who don't want a truly free speech platform out there, let alone a pro-Trump one. And so they're loading them up by faking these terrorist posts. And it wouldn't be the first time that happened. All the way back when they were talking about the first Telecommunications Decency Act, and Senator Exxon was proposing his Exxon Amendment. The internet was before the World Wide Web. We had Usenet, which had news groups, and they were being flooded with all kinds of pornography, even in the groups that normally had nothing to do with pornography. That, there was a whole separate hierarchy for that kind of stuff. But they were going into cooking groups and, you know, astronomy groups and things like that. And the community tried to self-police and say, look, there are spaces in Usenet to post this kind of material. And they'd come back and say, I have a First Amendment right to put this porn here. And so we tracked their IPs, and they all went back to government and military computers. And as soon as the vote was done on the Exxon Amendment, it was like a switch had been thrown. The porn simply went away. So this kind of spamming through a targeted news group or a targeted platform is nothing new. The government has done this kind of stuff before, and I think that's what they're doing to Getter right now. Another little story breaking. This is coming from Dr. Shiva Iyarai, Iyarai, and he has discovered Twitter has a special portal offered to certain government entities so that government officials can flag and delete content they dislike for any reason as part of what they call their Twitter partner status. And this is a huge, huge story of Twitter government collusion. I don't think it's quite on the same scale as the Pentagon Papers, but it's awfully close there. And Dr. Iyarai has filed a federal lawsuit alleging his federal civil rights were violated when the government silenced his political speech in order to affect an election. And again, if Twitter is just that openly under the control of the government, then the First Amendment applies and Section 230 protections are null and void. The government is in violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution, used through its agent, Twitter, which is obviously acting as an agent. Another article about Twitter, this is coming from Russia Today, says that Twitter has teamed up with Reuters and Associated Press to elevate the information coming from the corporate media, which is just arbitrarily deemed to be credible information, and, you know, to basically downplay the others. So Twitter is now acting like a publisher. And, again, this nullifies the Section 230 protections there. Now, Joe Biden's Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, is inviting United Nations racism inspectors to the United States to conduct a report on American society. And this is basically opening the door for more censorship on social media, saying, well, it's not us, it's the United Nations who are saying that we have to shut you all down. So it's a dodge there. All right, getting into election fraud, there's a lot happening there. A whistleblower from Dominion has come forward and has revealed that, in point of fact, the Maricopa County election officials do have the passwords to those Dominion machines. Remember, they kept saying, oh, the admin passwords domain has those, and you know, we don't have them, so we can't turn them over in response to the subpoenas. Well, the whistleblower is saying, yeah, they've got the passwords, and yes, the machines can be connected to the Internet. And so now we have a Dominion CEO lied under oath in front of Congress, and we know that the Maricopa County officials, who have once again defied a Senate subpoena, are in fact in possession of the materials demanded in that subpoena. Now, there is this elections expert, Seth Keschel, and this story was carried on One American News Network not too long ago. His analysis of the 2020 presidential election found 8.1 million excess votes for Joe Biden in the U.S. election. Votes that cannot be verified or counted for. And he's not even accounting for vote flipping. He's just saying there are 8,144,000 votes for Joe Biden that cannot be explained away. And that means that Trump won Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and Minnesota, which means he actually did win the presidential election last November. Now, we're still waiting for that report to come out from Arizona. The Democrats and the corporate media are panicking. And I'm expecting they're going to manufacture some kind of a huge distraction like, oh, I don't know, war with Iran, so they don't have to report on the surfacing of all the evidence of election fraud. Meanwhile, over in Wisconsin, Waukesha County Republicans are preparing a resolution this week backing a complete forensic audit in that state. So we'll see what happens. Now, over in Colorado, there is a Republican, Matt Crane, and he may be a rhino because he was basically caught partying with the Dominion people from Dominion Election Systems, Democrat leaders, and Eric Coomer. So he's all buddy-buddy with the people who helped steal the election from Donald Trump. Over in Washington, D.C., the runaway Texas Democrats who are still there are bringing in reinforcements. They're mounting a pressure campaign for what they call voting rights, which is let the illegals vote, no voter ID, basically to legalize the means by which they steal elections. And they're still basically looking at any attempt at establishing voting integrity. They're calling it voter suppression. It's racist. And, you know, if you really think about it, it's the Democrats who are being racist here because they're implying that black people are too dumb to get an ID, if you think about it. So they're out there still screaming about all of this and trying to get these laws passed before it becomes obvious that to the ordinary average American that last November's election was, in fact, crooked. All righty. New videos have emerged regarding the protests at the Capitol building on January 6th, and the new videos appear to show the Capitol Police inciting the violence by shooting flashbang grenades into what was then a peaceful crowd. The video shows them tear gassing protesters, beating up Trump supporters. The actions by law enforcement were very provocative in those moments, and the crowd reacted. They shouted expletives and grew more aggressive in reaction to the flashbangs, tear gas, and beatings. Now, something very weird is going on with the Capitol Hill police officers. There are now four that are reported to have committed suicide since January 6th. And let's see, Gunther Hashida and Kyle DeFreitag died in the months after defending the U.S. Capitol. Jeffrey Smith of the D.C. Police and Howard Liebengood of the Capitol Police died by suicide supposedly within a month of the attack. Well, four suicides is statistically unlikely. And a lot of people are saying this appears to be more wet work, that these police officers were in possession of information that somebody said should not be made public. And it is a reminder to those of you who cooperate with the government and the deep state, when you are no longer useful, you become a liability. And live liabilities do not survive very long in the United States of America. Getting into COVID-19, the House Foreign Affairs Committee have concluded that COVID-19 came from the Wuhan lab. And what they have determined is that in September 2019, the Wuhan lab overhauled its air safety and waste treatment systems, and it's thought that COVID escaped from the lab at that particular time. So, you know, all that stuff about wet markets and bats that was handed to you by the corporate media was just another lie. You want to know where the COVID misinformation is coming from? It's coming from ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, NPR, and all of the legacy media. You know, then they have the temerity to turn around and say that those of us who suspected from the beginning that COVID had leaked from a biowarfare lab are misinformation and need to be silenced. Because that's what I said right at the very beginning. It sounded like somebody had dropped a test tube over at that Wuhan lab. Okay. Senator Lindsey Graham, despite being fully vaccinated, has come down with COVID-19. He's experiencing symptoms. He's gone into quarantine, which is the smart thing to do. And this Democratic strategist, Kate Coyne McCoy, basically is under fire for a public comment wishing that Lindsey Graham would die of the COVID. And then she did a follow-up tweet saying, I made a mistake. I used poor judgment, which I obviously regret. And no, sorry, you know, the modern internet, once it's out there, everybody sees it. There's no taking it back. Meanwhile, over at the CDC, the most recent statistics released this last Friday, the vaccine adverse event reporting system has now recorded twice as many deaths following the non-FDA-approved experimental COVID-19 shots during the past 8 months than deaths recorded following all FDA-approved vaccines for the last 30 years. So far, 11,940 dead from the shots, 618,648 vaccine injuries, and 1,175 miscarriages following the COVID-19 shots. This is 1976 all over again. Now, the CDC is out there saying that the vaccinated may be as likely to spread COVID as the unvaccinated, and of course, reports of serious injuries after the vaccines are on the rise. So let me see if I can sum this up for you. Okay, if you have the COVID vaccine, you can still get COVID, you can still spread COVID around, you can be harmed, possibly even killed by the COVID vaccine. Does this sound like a really good quality product to you? It certainly doesn't to me. Okay. CDC has done a study on 12 to 17-year-olds who got the Pfizer vaccine. These are kids, 12 to 17. They reported 863 serious adverse events, 397 reports of heart inflammation, and 14 deaths. And that's not good. And especially when you consider that 12 to 17 age group isn't likely to get COVID-19 in the first place. It primarily goes after us old people. So anyway, now there has been a leaked audio of a phone call between a Moderna representative and a woman who developed Guillain-Barré syndrome after receiving the company's experimental gene therapy. And this audio has confirmed something many of us already knew. We are part of the biggest clinical trial in vaccine history. They have made guinea pigs of us all. Now, the corporate media doesn't want to admit it, but these COVID-19 treatments are experimental. The FDA already said so. These are gene therapies. They are not vaccines in the traditional sense. And they did try animal trials for one of them. And as I understand it, all of the animals died. And now we're finding out that the spike protein in the vaccines is triggering the disease reaction, even though it's not towing the supposed COVID pathogen along with it. So that's pretty serious. They finally done an autopsy on somebody who died of the COVID vaccines, and they found those spike proteins, which we were told were only going to remain in the ejection site. They found them in every single organ in the body. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. Back with more news after these few words. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
In the night, without a fight, you can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here, and this is the part of the program where I get down on my knees and remind you all that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your ongoing support to keep on doing what we're doing, which is to keep the American people fully informed so that they can make good choices. And once again, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now, if you mail in a donation of $100, you will get your choice of either a official RBN T-shirt, like the one I'm wearing right here, or the official RBN mug. And so indicate your preference, include a return address, and specify your T-shirt size. All righty, getting on back to the news. There's a video out that we linked to from whatreallyhappened.com. Michael Osterholm is admitting that most masks are not effective. which we've kind of known. We've seen the demonstrations where people will take a puff on a cigarette, put on the mask, exhale, and the smoke just comes pouring on out. And we've pointed out many times that the size of the virus particle is microscopic compared to the weave of these masks. And it's like putting up a chain link fence in the hope it's going to keep the mosquitoes away. So that's where we are. All right. The White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator, Jeff Zients, announced yesterday that the Biden regime is moving rapidly toward mandatory vaccinations, despite the fact that it's against both U.S. law and the Nuremberg Code to do so. Zients hosted a press conference with National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Dr. Anthony Fauci and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky, appearing behind him remotely on screens, and he aggressively pushed the idea that it's okay for the administration to use any coercive measures to promote vaccine compliance. And I don't know about you, but the harder they push this ineffective but dangerous vaccine, the more worried I get as to what is really going on here. Because, again, if you get the COVID vaccine, you can still get COVID. You can still pass COVID on to other people. You can be harmed by the vaccine. So what is the point? Especially when the actual death rate from catching COVID is so very, very low. You know, it's down on the order. It's less than the ordinary seasonal flu. It's about on the same level as dying from the common cold. Over at Birmingham Southern College, they are going to impose a $500 fee on unvaccinated students. And so the Alabama University, the college rather, is charging every unvaccinated student a $500 fee in order to offset continual weekly antigen testing and quarantining. So anyway, Texas has just passed New York in COVID-19 deaths, despite once trailing by 29,000. And they're basically out there saying that they have suffered failures in trying to contain COVID-19 infections. Story coming on out of Daily Exposé in the United Kingdom. COVID-19 deaths are rising, and official data shows 87% of the people who died were fully vaccinated. So, again, it's not working. It's really not working. Now, remember we were talking about how corporate media holds itself up as the purveyor of reliable, dependable information, and those of us in the independent media are a bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing goofs who are putting out misinformation. Well, last Friday, the corporate media put out this report that there had been a massive 300% spike in COVID deaths. And it turned out to be just another lie. The number came from Johns Hopkins University, but the number of deaths was skewed by old data. One case dated back to last spring. And Florida and Delaware reported a huge increase in deaths because they dumped old data into the totals. In other words, they wanted to have high numbers, and so they cooked the books, is really what it comes down to. Some of the deaths Delaware reported on Friday were actually from May of 2020. So, yeah, reliable information from corporate media. We've heard that one before. Okay, we got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wake, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're going to start with the international news over in Malaysia. The members of Malaysia's parliament attempted a march on the parliament building. They were met by police and threatened with arrest. And this is happening amid the rising tension over the government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, parliament began a special session last week after a month-long shutdown. These members of the parliament that were marching on the building are members of the political opposition, and they were met with the police. Meanwhile, in Slovakia, police stood down and marched away from their anti-vax protesters as well. Now, this brings us to Fort Detrick. Fort Detrick has become the focus of Chinese demands investigators look to the United States as the source of COVID-19, that it may have been developed here and then shopped out to China where it could be manufactured more cheaply, you know, like an iPhone. But the history of Fort Detrick, I mean, it became well known back right after 9/11 when a strain of anthrax, weaponized anthrax from Fort Detrick, was sent to a bunch of media people and politicians in letters that were handwritten to look like they were from semi-literate Arab Muslims, and that quickly fell apart when it was identified that it was our own weaponized anthrax here. But Fort Detrick has a very long and dark history. Right after World War II, Fort Detrick became a site of scientific experiments conducted under a top-secret CIA quest to control the human mind, known as MK-Ultra. And after more than 20 years, the project ended in abysmal failure. It led to an unknown number of deaths, including a scientist who participated in the project, and at least hundreds of American and Canadian victims subjected to mental and physical torture. This MK-Ultra is actually what introduced LSD into our society. Now, the experiments not only violated international law, but also the agency's own charter, which forbids domestic activity. The CIA is not supposed to be working inside the United States of America. So that's the sort of roots Fort Detrick has. Anyway, over in Afghanistan, their president, Ashraf Ghani, he continues to blame the sudden withdrawal of U.S. troops, after only 20 years, of course, for his country's deteriorating security situation, as the Taliban have laid siege to three provincial capitals and hit the Kandahar airport with rocket artillery. And so President Ghani is out there trying to put the blame onto the United States for not staying there and fighting their war for them. And, you know, I can understand that he's a little irked. After all, it was the original U.S. invasion and ouster of the Taliban that started this whole mess. And now the U.S. has left and the Taliban want their country back. And so it's, you know, I think they're going to get it. It's only a matter of time here. Now, there was an article that came on out of FFT.org, and it says that much of our leadership may not be learning the real lessons from this defeat in Afghanistan. Instead, they're trying to rationalize why Afghanistan turned out to be such a big debacle. And they promise that they will learn how to do better with future interventions. Well, they said the same thing after Vietnam, and obviously that didn't work. It turns out that our National Guard, which is supposed to be the state's armies, I might add, they're still fighting in the Middle East. And that's despite domestic deployments between the coronavirus pandemic, massive protests like Black Lives Matter, and the protests in the Capitol building. But they're still over there in the Middle East, mostly in Syria. I don't think that's quite what they signed up for. Meanwhile, Russia's defense ministry has announced yesterday that it killed up to 200 fighters in Syria during an airstrike on a terrorist base northeast of Palmyra. And after confirming data through multiple channels on the location of the terrorist facilities, Russian Aerospace Forces aircraft carried out the airstrikes, and they eliminated two hideouts and up to 200 militants. So they're getting very serious about supporting the government of Syria. And as we reported yesterday, they've effectively closed off the Syrian skies to Israel and their constant ongoing attacks. Now, something is going on over in the Gulf around the United Arab Emirates coast. The British Navy warned earlier today of a potential hijack of a ship off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. They didn't really have a lot of details, but it's already being blamed on Iran, just like the drone attack on the oil tanker off Oman. And at one point, there was reports that several ships in the area had lost their ability to steer and control their vessels. And they're claiming there was an unauthorized boarding on one ship. That has not been confirmed at this point. But Associated Press reported at least four vessels sent out warnings saying they had lost control of their steering. Oh, bad, bad Iran. They're hacking the computers that run the ships and so forth and so on. Now, simple little question here. With the negotiations for the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action still underway in Vienna, why would Iran decide to act like this at this particular time? And the answer is they wouldn't. This is obviously a false flag setup. And I think there's some indications there that over in Israel, their defense minister, Benny Gantz, is up there saying, oh, we've got to do action against Iran right now over the tanker attack. You know, don't stop. Don't look for evidence. Don't think about it. Just go start shooting at them. And he is being joined by Mike Pompeo, who's out there slamming Joe Biden for not just calling off the nuclear deal negotiations with Iran, which Israel has been saying all along they want the deal to fail, and again, blaming Iran, and not a lot of evidence out there here. Meanwhile, a senior Russian foreign ministry official is rejecting the claim that Iran was involved in any of these shipping incidents. They're saying they can't find any evidence that Iran had anything to do with it. They think the other players are at work there, and you know, they're going to continue to look at it. But right now, they're saying no, there really is no evidence Iran had anything to do with it. Let's not act precipitously. But then acting precipitously to start a war is the hallmark of the United States of America. We remember the lies about Saddam's nuclear weapons that started the war with Iraq. We remember the lies about torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin that escalated the Vietnam War. We remember these stories about Spanish mines in Havana Harbor sinking the USS Maine that led to the Spanish-American War. Lusitania not smuggling weapons to Great Britain. Pearl Harbor being honestly, you know, total surprise. We had no idea they were coming. And then we found out that, yeah, Roosevelt had been goading them for a year to attack Pearl Harbor. And on and on and on. I mean, it is routine for the United States government to lie the people into wars, and it looks like they're getting ready to crank one up on Iran. And as I mentioned earlier, this would give the corporate media a reason to not report anymore on the growing evidence that last November's election was crooked. So they're really pushing that. Now, over in Great Britain, their tabloids, The Mirror and The Sun, came out with these hysterical, shrieking articles about how Russia's nuclear subs are conducting sinister deep dive operations in the Atlantic. Well, from where I sit, it looks like they're just training missions. And they're not the only ones who test out their submarines and train in the Atlantic. So does the United States. So for that matter, does Great Britain. And Russia is testing out its Bore-class submarine. This is a nuclear-powered ballistic missile-carrying boat. It carries up to 16 Bulava nuclear missiles on board. Russia currently has four of these subs. A fifth will be commissioned in October. Five more are in the ways to be completed after that. And so the British tabloids are out there saying these are sinister missions. And it's just the more the anti-Russia, you know, hate the Russians propaganda that we're seeing. A little bit of bad news for U.S. policy in the Middle East. It looks like Iran and Saudi Arabia are inching towards a rapprochement that, if they can pull it off, would profoundly shift the Middle East's dynamics, diplomacy, and stability. And officials from both countries have recently hailed back-channel talks, first held in Iraq and now in Oman, as constructive. So that would definitely put a crimp on the idea of war with Iran, because that would inevitably mean war on Saudi Arabia, with whom we are still dependent on for a great deal of our oil. Now, the Israeli Defense Forces are getting ready to hold an exercise across the northern border with Lebanon. Actually, they started last night simulating wargaming, fighting with the Hezbollah in Lebanon. The drill is called Sunbeam, and it's being run to test the readiness of soldiers during a potential escalation with the, as usual they claim, it's Iran-backed terror group that could last a number of days. Meanwhile, Israeli soldiers opened fires at farmers and fishermen yesterday in the Gaza Strip, causing a lot of damage, forcing the Palestinians to leave. Media sources said Israeli Navy ships opened fire at Palestinian fishing boats only 3 nautical miles from the shore, which is within the boundaries that are currently set for the Palestinian fishermen. At least one boat suffered severe damage. So there were no casualties, but it did force the fishermen back on the shore. Now, the Gaza Strip relies heavily on sea life, fish, for their diet. So forcing the fishermen back to the shore is basically starving the Gazans again. Now, in Sheikh Jarrah, there's a very bizarre situation going on there. There are Palestinians who are being threatened with eviction in East Jerusalem, and court basically said that we have decided the land now belongs to this illegal settler company, and that these homes, which the Palestinians had owned, are no longer their property. But they said, in the spirit of humanity, the Palestinians could stay in their homes if they pay rent on them to the settlement organization. Such a deal. Such a deal. Okay. There is a new bill circulating around Capitol Hill. This is a bill that would expend over $6.4 billion, with a B, on behalf of Israel. It was advanced earlier by a House committee. It's now been passed by the House of Representatives. It is now headed to the Senate. Now, the bill was passed on July 28th in the middle of an Israeli killing spree in which Israeli soldiers shot dead 4 unarmed Palestinian civilians, including an 11-year-old, a teenager, and a 20-year-old attending a funeral. And the day before the House vote, Human Rights Watch had issued a report documenting apparent war crimes by Israel in its May attack on Gazans. Now, my response to this is pretty simple and straightforward. We have legions of Americans homeless in the streets, and with the eviction moratorium over, that number is now growing. These people are having to sleep on concrete. They're eating out of trash dumpsters, and Congress still sends your money to Israel. What is wrong with this picture? Now, Israel is still on the warpath against Ben and Jerry's ice cream over their decision not to sell ice cream in the occupied Palestinian territory in the West Bank. But it's interesting enough, there are other companies that won't sell there. For example, McDonald's. does not sell in the illegal settlements. The reason they're not catching the media flack that Ben and Jerry's is McDonald's never started selling their hamburgers in the illegal settlements, and so they have escaped the wrath of Israel, at least for the moment. But Israel is still gunning for Ben and Jerry's. They want to make an example out of them and say, you will sell to the illegal settlements. You will bake cakes for gay weddings. You will design websites for the LGBTQ community. You can see where we're headed right now in our society. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. Back with more news after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon. Socialist banker to the one world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR. Fought underhanded.
Welcome back to our show here. Now, the United States is returning more than 17,000 ancient artifacts that were looted and smuggled out of Iraq after the U.S. invasion in 2003, including a 3,500-year-old clay tablet bearing part of the Epic of Gilgamesh. And so that's a really nice thing to do for Iraq. Tens of thousands of antiquities disappeared from Iraq after the 2003 invasion against Saddam Hussein. Many more were smuggled or destroyed by ISIS, which held a third of Iraq between 2014 and 2017, before it was defeated by Iraqi and international forces. Now, U.S. authorities working to recover the artifacts recently reached an agreement with Baghdad to return items seized from dealers and museums in the United States. Well, good. Now, if we could do something about those Elgin marbles over at the British Museum. Article coming on out of Outline.com saying that really the best possible case is a complete withdrawal from Iraq, that it would best serve America's interests. Now, right now, they're talking about ending combat operations in Iraq, but what they're really doing is they're changing the labels. And instead of combat troops, they're being called training troops, but they're still going to be there on the ground. And for those of you who are my age, you probably remember how the advisors quickly became real combat troops in Vietnam. Okay, over in the Philippines, the National Police Chief, General Guillermo Eleazar, has ordered an intensified cleansing of police ranks on Monday after a civilian personnel member was identified as a mole and a key member of the Abu Sayyaf group. And so the purge is beginning there. Meanwhile, Germany has now sent a warship to the South China Sea. This is the first time in 20 years that they've done it. And Germany said their navy will stick to common trade routes. They're saying the frigate is not expected to go through the Taiwan Strait. And so probably, Germany and China are trading partners, and Germany probably doesn't want to mess that up. Meanwhile, Taiwan's Air Force has budgeted $14 million for the U.S. Patriot missile experts to be sent to the island for weapons tests between 2019 and 2022. So it's underway right now. And so they are arming the island with Patriot surface-to-air missiles right now. Okay, we're going to take a break now for station identification. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. Got a lot of news left to get through, and we'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.